Good morning. Oh, hello, try that again. Good morning. And welcome all of you to Calvin Christian Reformed Church. We're glad that you're here to worship the Lord with us. I want to give a special welcome to any visitors and friends that we have joining us today. It's good to come together as God's people and worship our God. I've got one announcement to make as we get started. We're going to do our service a little bit differently today. We don't have any slides for you. We're going to do this the old style. So we're going to be singing out of the hymnals, and any readings you'll have to find in the bulletin. This is the way things are going today. So we have everything for you. I'll try to direct you to the bulletin and the hymnal as needed, but just know that if you look up at the screen, you're not going to find anything there today. So we'll carry on like we used to do for years and years and years. With that being said, let's enter into our time of worship together. Brothers and sisters, please rise in body or in spirit. And let's hear God's call to worship from Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. Let's join all creation in praising our God. We'll join together in singing Shout to the Lord. That's number 603 in Lift Up Your Hearts. That's the book with kind of the wheat pattern on the front of it. They're both red, but the one with the wheat pattern, we'll sing number 603, Shout to the Lord. Our God greets us this morning, saying, Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. God has greeted us. Let's take some time to greet one another with his peace. You may be seated. Brothers and sisters, this is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. Trusting God's grace to forgive us, let's confess our sins together in prayer. Lord Jesus, you call us to follow you. You have taught and shown us what a truly good and upright life looks like. But we confess that so often we don't seek to follow you, and even our best efforts at following you fall short. Instead, we pursue our own agendas and chase our own desires, valuing comfort and pleasure and popularity and success over honoring and serving you. We tolerate and even embrace our sins because giving you control of our lives and giving up our bad habits sounds unpleasant and difficult. We don't speak up for you or stand out from the world around us because we worry about what others might think of us. Forgive us. Strengthen us by your Spirit, and help us to experience the true freedom and life that you give to those who follow you. Bread of life, how long must people in your world starve for food or attention? Satisfy our needs with your abundance. We need you, Lord. Listen to our call for help. Great physician, how long must people in your world yearn for healing or even access to medical treatment? Free the sick from pain, from unanswered questions, and from nights of worry. We need you, Lord. Listen to our call for help. Prince of Peace, how long must your world be torn by political and economic turmoil? May we and your world rest in your everlasting embrace. We need you, Lord. Listen to our call for help. Help of the helpless, how long will the cries of the weak and the oppressed go unheard? Use your people as you bring comfort and relief to those in need. God, you are forgiving and good, full of love to all who call to you. You are our God. You alone can renew our world. So we cry to you and put our trust in you alone. Amen. Brothers and sisters, hear the good news. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Know that in Christ Jesus, God makes us right with him, forgiving our sins and empowering us to live new lives. Thanks be to God. Now God calls us to live as his people. Let's join together in the responsive reading that's printed on the insert in the bulletin as we hear God's call to discipleship, his call for our lives. Hear, O people of God, the law which the Lord speaks in your hearing this day, that you may know his statutes and walk according to his ordinances. Teach us, O God, the grace of your law, and give us life by your word. The God who saved us in Jesus Christ gave this law, saying, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. We will worship the Lord our God and serve only him. You shall not make yourself an image of anything to worship it. Living no more in bondage to earthly gods, we will worship the Lord our God in spirit and in truth. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord. We will use the holy name of God with reverence, praising him in everything we do and say. You shall observe the Sabbath by keeping it holy, for in 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The first part of the law is this great commandment, that we love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our mind, and with all our strength. The second part of the law is similar to the first. You shall honor your father and mother, that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving to you. As children, we will be obedient to our parents in the Lord. As parents, we will correct our children and guide them in the training and instruction of the Lord. We will respect the lawful authorities appointed by God. You shall not murder. We will be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave us. You shall not commit adultery. We will use our bodies in ways that are holy and honorable, and abstain from immorality and impurity. You shall not steal. We will do what we can for our neighbor's good, and work faithfully so that we may share with the poor. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. We will speak the truth with our neighbor in love, render judgments that are true and make for peace, and not devise in our hearts any evil against anyone. You shall not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor. We will be content, whatever the circumstances, through the strength of Christ within us. Thus, we must love our neighbors as ourselves. For the Lord requires of us to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God. Amen. Let's praise our God and express our dedication to him by singing together Jesus All for Jesus. That's number 738 in Lift Up Your Hearts, 738, and we will rise in body or in spirit as we sing.
Thank you.
You may be seated. As we prepare for our time of congregational prayer, I have a few prayer requests to share with you. First, as you maybe have seen in the prayer chain earlier this week, we want to be in prayers for Denise Mastbergen and for some others in her care facility who have come down with COVID. And so we pray for healing during this time, and we pray for their caregivers also, for strength and health for them. We want to bring prayers for Brian Wirth, who broke his foot recently. We pray that healing will come quickly and that he'll have no setbacks. And then we also want to be in prayers for Lisa Hobbin and for Michael and their whole family. Lisa's mother passed away last night, and so we want to be praying for comfort for the whole family. Let's come together in a time of prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Lord, we thank you for your great faithfulness to us, which endures even longer than the earth. We praise you for your great love, which is higher than the mountains, which is deeper than the sea. We thank you for your great mercy in caring for our needs, in forgiving our sins. We praise you that as your word says, your mercies for us are new every morning. Lord, we praise you for you are in control of our world, and all things come to be because you have ordained them, because you work out your good purposes through all the events of our world. You are guiding things to your intended end for your glory. Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we pray for your peace, your well-being, your shalom on this earth. We pray that you would satisfy the needs of those who are forgotten and overlooked. We pray that you would bring an end to warfare and conflict. We think particularly of Burkina Faso, where there's a military coup this week. We think of Ukraine and the threat of mounting war there. And we just pray for peace. We pray that you would help us to be people that do your will, the way that your angels do in heaven, that you would help us to obey you fully, that you transform our hearts to lead us away from sins to do what you want. We pray for leaders and those in authority that you would guide them to do your will as well, because it is only in you that we have any hope for true peace or justice. Lord, give us today our daily bread. We thank you for the ways in which you meet our daily needs. We thank you that you give us food and clothing and shelter. We thank you that you have given us work and the opportunity to earn a living and meet our needs that way. We thank you for those who share with others in need. We pray for those we know that have special needs this week. We think of Glenda and her ongoing struggles with her health. We pray that you would give her strength, that you would keep her from getting sick. We pray for Arlen, too, that you'd strengthen him as he cares for her. We pray for Denise and for many others who have COVID. We pray that you would give peace of mind and quick healing. We pray for Jackie during her pregnancy. We pray that you'd keep her healthy. We pray that her baby would develop and grow well and come to full term. We pray for Brian. We pray for quick healing and no setbacks, and that he'd be able to get back to his regular routine soon. We think of Audrey and Frank and many others we know who are shut in, and we pray that you would protect them from loneliness and help them to know your love. We pray for Lisa and Michael and their whole family during their time of grief. We pray that you would bring comfort. And Lord, for many others we know who are on our hearts and minds, neighbors and friends and loved ones who have sickness, who are dealing with challenges to their mental health, who are going through times of grief, we pray that you would give them strength for each day, that you would show your healing power and your presence to them clearly. Father, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lord, we come before you as sinful people, and we are so thankful for your grace in Jesus. And we pray that as you have forgiven us, that you would help us to forgive others, that you would help us to let go of old hurts and grudges, that you would keep us from seeking revenge, that as much as possible, where it depends on us, that we would seek reconciliation, that we would seek to renew relationships and to go forward in your grace and your strength. Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Lord, we pray that you would help us to follow you, to not give in to Satan's schemes, but to do what you would call us to do. We pray that you would protect us from the attacks of the devil, not only spiritual attacks, but from the suffering that comes in our world. We pray that you would preserve our health and our well-being, that you would enable us to be witnesses to you through the things that we say and do each day. We pray that you would help us to give up trust in ourselves or in anything else, but to trust you alone. And we thank you for your great power and your care for us. Lord, we turn to you in hope and faith, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This time in our worship, we have the opportunity to give back to God with the giving of our offerings. As we receive our offerings and for the ministries of our church and other organizations we support, we're also going to have some singing. We will not have the special music that's printed in the bulletin. Instead, we're going to sing together, "Take My Life and Let It Be." So if you'll pull out, lift up your hearts once again, that's number 863. 863, and we'll sing verses 1 through 4 of that song as we receive our offering this morning. It's time for our children's message, so I invite any kids that want to come forward to come sit up here with me, and we're going to talk for a little bit. How are you, Dominic? Good? Yeah, you beat everybody up here today. Well, good morning, everyone. How are you today?
Good.
Have you guys ever played a game called Follow the Leader? Yeah, you've played Follow the Leader? How does Follow the Leader work, Veronica? You follow people, yeah. Do you know what it means to follow somebody?
Leader.
If they leader, yeah. When you follow somebody, like if you play Follow the Leader, you do what they do. So if the leader jumps up and down, you jump up and down. If the leader gets on their hands and knees and crawls, then you get on your hands and knees and crawl. When we follow somebody, we do what they do. We go where they go. So in our Bible story this morning, in the Bible reading we're going to have, Jesus tells us that we need to follow him. So we should do the things that Jesus wants us to do. And we should go where Jesus wants us to go. And so we're going to talk about that. But I want to make sure we understand one other thing. Jesus wants us to follow him. He tells us we should live the way he wants us to live. But Jesus doesn't love us because we do those things. We don't do these things to make Jesus love us. Jesus loves us already. Jesus loves us before we do anything, good or bad. And so we follow Jesus not to make him love us, but we follow Jesus because we love him. And we're so glad that he loves us. So we're going to talk more about how we can love Jesus and follow him. Thanks for coming forward. You guys can go back to your seats. So in our sermons together this week and through the month of February, we are in the book of Mark. And we are talking about discipleship. We are talking about how Jesus calls us to come and follow him. Today we're going to read some words that I'm sure you've probably heard before. Jesus calls us to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him. As I was getting ready for this sermon and reflecting on these words, I thought that, you know, I've heard these words many, many times in my life. But I don't know that they've always had the impact on my life that they should. I think it's easy for us to hear these words and say, yeah, you know, we should do better, and then just go about our lives the way we have been going about our lives. And so my prayer today, my prayer throughout the next coming weeks is that God will use these words to truly touch our hearts, your hearts and my heart, and make us more like Jesus, and give us the courage to really try and strive with God's help to become more like Christ, and not just go about business as usual. So as we go through these series, as we hear the word today and in future weeks, if you feel that God is speaking to you through the sermon, through the Bible reading, please come and talk to me. I would love to encourage you to hear more about what God is speaking to you and be of any assistance that I can. And that's really true any sermon I ever preach here, but especially these next few weeks. If you really feel God speaking to you, I hope that he does, then come and talk to me. And I want to support you because that's my job. And that's what I really would want to do for you as much as God enables me to. Before we read God's word together, let's join in a moment of prayer. Guide us, O God, by your word and spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is Mark chapter 8, verse 34 through chapter 9, verse 1. We're going to read over the chapter break there. So again, if you want to pull out a Bible, if you've brought your own or you want to pull the pew Bible out, we're going to read Mark 8, 34 through 9, 1. Hear the word of the Lord. Then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." And he said to them, "Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see that the kingdom of God has come with power." This is the word of the Lord. Anyone who truly wants to follow me, to be my disciple, must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. That's what Jesus says in our passage. Let's not waste time dancing around it, denying ourselves, taking up our cross. Suffering is at the heart of God's word for us today. That makes us uncomfortable. We don't like that. I don't like that. But it's true. We need to understand that the Christian life is not all sunshine and rainbows. In the words of Christian leader Dietrich Bonhoeffer, when Christ calls a person, he bids them come and die. Following Jesus means death for our very selves, because on our own, we are hopelessly sinful and self-centered. Any ungodly thing in us, lustful thoughts, cruel words, dishonest habits, seeking revenge, all those ungodly things have to die because our sins stop us from following Jesus. Our understanding of ourselves as the center of the universe, all our dreams and goals and perspectives and values that come from ourselves and not from God must be killed for us to imitate Jesus. Unlearning our sins, shedding our sinful selves is painful. But Jesus says we will suffer in following him. Pursuing Jesus as our Savior and Lord can and often does mean that the world will laugh at us, that neighbors will dislike us, that friends will distance themselves from us. For some Christians around the world, committing to Jesus means being disowned by family, losing jobs and homes, even being beaten, imprisoned, killed. But Jesus tells us to expect and to accept suffering for him. He says that if we are ashamed of him and his message, if we deny his claim to be the only way to salvation so that we can avoid upsetting other people, or if we avoid his words of judgment against sins like greed and racism and sexual immorality and abuse of power in order to better fit in with the world around us, then we are not truly living as his disciples. The thing is, following Jesus can sound uncomfortable, unpleasant, way too hard. Chris Norman grew up going to church, but he says that he didn't really know Jesus. He thought Christianity and following Jesus were suffocating. Chris was an excellent linebacker who played college football at Michigan State University. He had dreams of making a career in the NFL, playing the sport that he loved as long as he could. Chris's life revolved around football. He says, "My identity was so wrapped up in sports and the lifestyle that came along with it." But at the end of his sophomore season, Chris injured his ulnar collateral ligament. He couldn't participate in off-season training or in spring practice. Feeling lost, Chris went to an Athletes in Action camp, where fellow athletes enthusiastically encouraged him to truly give his life to Christ. But Chris was hesitant. "I knew if I became a Christian, I wasn't going to be able to do everything I wanted to do anymore. I was pretty reluctant to relinquish all the control of my life. I thought Jesus was just going to take all my fun away." Chris didn't think that he could truly enjoy Christ. Following Jesus to him sounded much too uncomfortable. Jesus' 12 disciples feel uncomfortable as they're listening to Jesus. They're struggling to really understand what Jesus is telling them. First, Jesus asked them who the crowds said that he was. And then he asked his disciples who they themselves said he was. Peter spoke up for the group, identifying Jesus as the Messiah, God's long-promised, specially chosen servant. But then, Jesus completely overturned the disciples' understanding of what the Messiah would do. Rather than describing a glorious victory over the Romans and a long reign as king in Jerusalem, Jesus said that he had to suffer, to die, and to rise again to carry out God's plans and purposes. When Peter tried to correct Jesus, Jesus rebuked him, saying that Peter was actually speaking for Satan, trying to pull Jesus away from his God-given path. And so now, right after that, Jesus summons the crowd to join the 12 disciples for further instruction. "Anyone who truly wants to follow me, to be my disciple, must deny themselves, carry their cross, and follow me." The disciples look at each other in utter confusion. First, Jesus talked about himself suffering. Now he says that his followers have to suffer too. Jesus doesn't pull any punches here. Following me means saying no to yourself, getting rid of your own agenda. Carrying out God's purposes and imitating me must set the course for your life, determining your purpose, your identity. Like a condemned criminal carrying his cross on the way to death, you must be ready to suffer for my sake, even to the point of death. You must be ready to strip away anything and everything that gets in the way of God's will for you, to put your sinful nature and self-determined desires to death. Then, and only then, will you truly be following me. After this shocking call to complete commitment, Jesus starts to explain what's really at stake here. Anyone who wants to save their life will lose it. If you're just trying to avoid the pain and suffering, just trying to blend in with the crowd rather than face rejection, to be comfortable and in control, then you're going to lose out in the end. You won't have life. You'll only have death. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. Surrender yourself to me. Devote yourself to the good news that I'm proclaiming, embodying, establishing. And you'll find that I give you the security of true life forever. You can't be safe on your own terms or achieve life through your own efforts, so don't try it. Give yourself to me, and I will keep you safe. I'll provide you with eternal life. This true life is more valuable than anything else, Jesus continues. No good at all comes from gaining everything in the world, having the so-called greatest life here and now, only to miss out on eternal life. Nothing in this world is worth selling your soul for. Nothing else could ever compare with experiencing God's goodness and inheriting His kingdom. So don't let anything or anyone come between you and me. Any suffering that God may call you to now, no matter how difficult or how painful, will be outweighed by the blessing and delight of life with Him forever. Jesus says, "The day will come when I return as judge of all. When you see the Son of Man in all the Father's glory with the holy angels. If anyone's been ashamed of me and my words, I'll be ashamed of them. Anyone who's denied the truth of my teaching or turned away from following me to fit in with the sinful, unfaithful people of this world, they will not enter God's eternal kingdom. They've chosen themselves over me, and so they've chosen eternal death. But I will vindicate those who give themselves up for me, those who endure suffering and even death here and now. I'll welcome them as citizens of God's eternal kingdom. After sharing my sufferings, they will share my glorious life. This may seem hard for you to believe, but truly I tell you, some who are standing here will certainly experience a clear display of the presence and power of God's kingdom before death. That will confirm my power and authority that all the world will see at my glorious return." In our passage, Jesus assures everyone who hears him that following him is worth it, because only he gives true eternal life and ultimate salvation. In the coming days, a few of Jesus' disciples will go on and witness the truth about Jesus in an event we call the Transfiguration. On that day, Jesus will shine forth his glory on a mountaintop, and God will vocally affirm that Jesus is his beloved Son, whom all people should listen to, the one with the power to save and the authority to judge. But there's better news still. There's another assurance, an even greater comfort here, that may not be so obvious. Jesus calls people to follow him because he goes before his disciples. Jesus' disciples may indeed suffer, But Jesus will suffer first. Jesus' followers may face rejection, mistreatment, even death at the hands of the world. But Jesus will experience all that and more in order to save his people forever. Jesus' people may endure pain as they seek to cut out sins and make sacrifices for Christ. But Jesus will undergo the full wrath and judgment of God against their sins to forgive them, to free them from sin and eternal death. Jesus' resurrection will give his people this certain hope of true life beyond suffering, the assurance of his power to help them endure. Jesus leads his people through death to life. Brothers and sisters, Jesus calls us to true life, even as he calls us to suffer for him and to die to ourselves. Following Jesus will not always be easy or comfortable, but following Jesus is always worth it. Christ worked in Chris Norman's heart, overcoming his hesitation, leading him to trust in and commit himself to Jesus. Chris says, "I realized that he will never fail me, regardless of my imperfections. And on top of that, he died for me." Submitting his will and desires to Christ has not always been easy or pleasant, but inspired by Jesus' grace, Chris decided that going forward, following Jesus trumps football, it trumps other relationships, it trumps everything. That fall, when Chris returned to playing football again, Jesus had become the number one priority in his life. He now saw football as a way God had given him to glorify Christ. After his senior season, yet another year later, Chris was considered a legitimate NFL prospect. But as he prayed for God's guidance for his future, he felt the Holy Spirit was leading him to pursue a career in ministry instead. Lots of people around Chris thought that he was foolish. They made fun of him. They told him not to give up his dream. They couldn't believe what he was doing. But Jesus helped him persevere. Ultimately, giving up his NFL dream, while certainly not easy, was not as miserable as Chris would have thought. Chris says, "Football is one of the best things that anyone could ever do. But true life, what it means to live, is all wrapped up in the way that you follow Christ." Jesus made Chris want to sacrifice for Jesus. Christ has made Chris feel that Christ is worth giving up everything for. Now let's be clear. Jesus doesn't call everyone to go into a career in ministry. Those of us in ministry are not better Christians than those who aren't. And Jesus doesn't call everyone to give up their career plans. What he does is he calls all of us to follow him wherever he leads us, whether that's right where we are now or whether that's in some new direction. Jesus calls each and every one of us to put him first, to give ourselves completely to him, to give up anything that gets in the way of us following him. Some of this call is universal. Our sinful tendencies may vary from person to person, but all of us need to put sins like arrogance and envy and idolatry to death. Some of this call is more particular. For some of us, things like using social media or watching sports or shopping or hunting are pretty easy things for us just to do and forget. But for others of us, those things can consume our lives, pull us away from Christ, and end up needing to be sacrificed. We need to examine ourselves with the help of God's Spirit to see what gets in the way of us following Jesus. Following Jesus is a lifelong process. It's full of ups and downs. It's not often easy. It doesn't always sound enjoyable. But Jesus, our Lord, is worth it. He loves us so much that he gave up his very life for us, loving us despite our sins, loving us long before we even considered loving and following him. When Jesus calls us to follow him, he does so as the one who saves us and forgives us and cares for us. His call on our lives is personal, but it's never solitary. He gives us Christian sisters and brothers to come alongside us. And Jesus himself is always with us to strengthen us and help us. Even when we face rejection for Jesus' sake, he offers us unfailing love. Even when we give up instant or temporary satisfaction for Jesus, he is holding out eternal joy. When we suffer pain and discomfort as we follow Christ, Jesus assures us of ultimate security. When Jesus calls us to come and die, he leads us to true life. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's join together in prayer. Lord Jesus, forgive us for not following you as we should. Inspire and empower us to deny ourselves and carry our crosses and truly follow you. Work in us through your Holy Spirit to help us recognize our sins and self-centered habits and desires that come between us and you. Help us to sacrifice anything, no matter how difficult, that we need to give up to follow you. Be first in our lives. Make us unashamed of you and your words. Make us willing to suffer for you and for the gospel. Thank you for going ahead of us, for giving yourself for our salvation, for leading us through death to true life. Through your Spirit we pray. Amen. Having heard God's word, let's respond by proclaiming together what we believe. If you look in the bulletin, you'll find the words of the Belgic Confession, Article 29. Let's join together in reading and proclaiming our faith. As for those who can belong to the church, we can recognize them by the distinguishing marks of Christians, namely by faith and by their fleeing from sin and pursuing righteousness once they have received the one and only Savior, Jesus Christ. They love the true God and their neighbors without turning to the right or left, and they crucify the flesh and its works. Though great weakness remains in them, they fight against it by the Spirit all the days of their lives, appealing constantly to the blood, suffering, death, and obedience of the Lord Jesus, in whom they have forgiveness of their sins through faith in him. Amen. Let's join together in singing. We're going to sing number 326 in Lift Up Your Hearts. That song is called Take Up Your Cross. One thing to notice, we're not going to use the notes, the tune of number 326. We're going to sing the tune of 325. So just read the words. Don't pay attention to the notes. Or if you're really talented, read the notes on the opposite page while reading the words. But we can follow along with Miriam. This will work. Let's rise in body or in spirit as we sing. Brothers and sisters, our Lord Jesus sends us forth to follow him. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And know that Jesus goes with us to help us, that he sends us forth with his blessing. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Let's join together in singing number 423, Give Me Jesus. Verses 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2, and 4, number 423.